and welcome to episode 4 of Be Living. I'm Aaron Celerini, and today I'm talking to Diana Jang, a local singer-songwriter with an inspiringly passionate relationship to music. We talk about the journey she had to take in her love affair with music and what her creative process is like. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone that if you haven't yet, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Be Living Now, and invite your friends to join in on some of the awesome conversations we have here on the show and on those pages. Make sure you listen to this podcast to the very end, because you all get the pleasure of hearing Diana Jang serenade you with a song that, when I first heard her play it, literally brought me to tears. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Diana Jang, hello.
Hi.
I have to tell you, I am so excited to talk to you about your art because I have experienced it firsthand at a local coffee shop here in Central Florida. I first saw you cover Priscilla Ahn's Dream,
yep.
And it literally brought me to tears. Like, I could not even handle it. But you're not just a cover artist, right? You actually are a singer-songwriter.
Exactly.
So, you have 17,000 followers on YouNow, the
yep.
broadcasting website.
Yep.
You have around 1,500 followers on your Facebook page for your music, and about 800 some subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah, somewhere
something like it. That. And
yep.
you only have like one video.
Yeah.
Right? Which is insanity.
One video.
Yeah. And you're also one of the most popular performers at this open mic. At Natura, let's be real. So, I guess my first question is, like, how did you make it this far? Like, can you give us a little bit of, like, background story of your love story with music?
When I was little, I actually first started piano when I was 4 years old. You know, typical Asian family,
mm-hmm.
they're like, you need to play piano, like, you know, get your shit together, you know.
Right.
But, I studied piano when at the age of 4, and then when I was 6, I studied violin again. And then, like, another Asian
stereotype.
Yeah, pretty much. And it just kind of progressed more and more, because I started, like, getting more into, like music-related classes and stuff at school, and that was what I found I'm very interested in, and so I kept going with it. I did, like, music theory, I did orchestra, I did band, I did a lot of stuff, and I went out, like, extracurricular stuff. I did piano and some sports, all that, you know.
Yeah.
But all of the activities that I did, music was by far, like, my most favorite thing to do, and I just knew, like, that I just wanted to be a musician, and I wanted to go out and play. I wanted to go sing and stuff. But I just kept learning a bunch of different instruments, and I actually taught myself after doing violin, piano. I just kind of, like, figured it out on my own, and then started teaching myself guitar, and then I started teaching myself ukulele, and then mandolin, drums, all those fun, fancy instruments.
So, knowing 10 million instruments that you do, how did you pick your favorite? Like, what is your favorite, first of all?
My favorite? Oh, man, that's really hard to answer. I definitely would say the guitar, though. I like a lot of stringed instruments. Actually, most of the instruments I play are stringed instruments.
Mm-hmm.
But guitar, it's easy to carry around. You can, like, do a bunch of different things on it, like, not just playing chords, of course. Like, you can do, like, riffs, and then you can make beats on them, on, like, the sound of the wood.
Yeah, absolutely. Like August Rush.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, my God. Actually, that movie is, like, my one of my favorite
movies.
Oh, my
gosh,
movies.
I love it. I can't.
I love August Rush.
Yes.
When I first saw it, it actually became, like, my all-time favorite movie, because it had, like, music-related stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I was like,
I had the poster and everything. Like, I loved it.
So, you know, then we're going to be friends.
Yeah, for sure. No, definitely.
But when I was in middle school, I didn't sing. I was really nervous about singing because I was super shy, and a lot of kids didn't, like, for some reason, like me. I don't know why. I don't know what I did.
I don't either. They're crazy.
Yeah. I was a little kid. I don't care.
I don't even care.
I just don't. But, like, in middle school, I saw that they were doing Sue's Cole, the musical, and I was like, oh, hey, I want to do that. And so I tried out for it, and I was so nervous. I couldn't sing, and I was, like, really disappointed in myself, and I was like, oh, my God, why did I do that? I was beating myself up, and the choir teacher said, so I don't think that you should be, like, once the cast, you know, the list was up, she's like, I asked her, like, why didn't I make the list? She was like, oh, well, I don't think that you're the right fit for the musical. I honestly don't think that you, like, well, you're not, like, I don't think I can see you being, like, going on further with music and singing, you know. So she told me I couldn't sing. And I was
super rude.
So mad. I was so disappointed. And I was just like, oh, my God. So I started shower singing a lot more after that. And, like, eventually when I was in high school, sophomore year, I played the guitar because someone had a spare guitar. And I played in the hallway because it was after school and I didn't think anyone was around.
Mm-hmm.
And I sang. And
took you right back to the shower.
Pretty much. Well, no. It pretty much actually, like, I was playing and singing, thinking no one was hearing. And all of a sudden, I look up, and on the other side of the hallway, there's just a bunch of teachers just standing there, like,
open mouth.
Oh, my God.
Gate.
Yeah, pretty much. And I was like, oh, what's up? And, like, they were saying, oh, you sing? We didn't know that. You're incredible. And I was like,
you should have been like, yeah, go ask the choir teacher.
Yeah, pretty much. I should have been like that. I should have been like, why? Go tell my middle school choir teacher. She's a hoe. Like,
right. Absolutely. What about the guitar kind of like cultivated
what
you've become?
I taught myself guitar, actually. I taught myself what I know. And it actually started off by me like learning a bunch of songs. So I learned like different songs. I learned stuff that like Joshua Radin, Jack Johnson, Priscilla Ahn, Ingrid Michaelson, Sarah Bareilles, a lot of like cover
singer
songs.
Songwriters
yeah.
of the time. Yeah,
exactly. And so after that, I just kind of like practiced using those and like you know, chord shifts and like kind of altering the sound. And eventually, the way that I play is now, I guess, the way that I, you know, play.
Yeah.
So.
Which is awesome. So.
Thank you.
And you're writing your own music now.
Yep.
So when did that start?
That started in the beginning year of my high school.
Okay.
Yeah, my high school years. Freshman year, I started writing a lot. I had a journal back in eighth grade. But then when I started, like, kind of falling more with music, I started writing more. And then I was like, hey, why don't I try writing a song? And I wrote my very first song, which is terrible, and I don't actually have it out anywhere, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
it's bad. And I was like, oh, shoot,
so
this
sad.
Is pretty bad.
I just want it
but
so bad.
Like, well, at the time, I was like, oh, this is such a good song. This is going to make, like, the Billboard
right?
stuff. Like, it's going to be number one. But then, like, now looking at it, I'm like, oh, my God, why I wrote that? Like,
never
oh,
again.
Boy.
Delete.
Yeah, like, delete. Oh, what? This never happened. Like,
yeah.
But I just kept writing and writing and got better at it. And then now at Nature or the Coffee Shop, I play a lot most of the times when I'm there. I play the Bubble Song, which is one of my originals, and it's very popular.
Did you write it in high school?
I didn't write it in high school.
Okay.
I wrote it, I think, the year after I graduated. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What do you, like, remember about the beginning stages of your songwriting?
With my beginning, like, time with songwriting, I kept listening to a lot of different songs that I enjoyed, and I liked the lyrics, and I liked the melody and how it flowed so well with, like, the lyrics, and it was awesome, and I kept listening to that. Actually, I would listen to it and fall asleep, so while I'm listening to it and sleeping, like, it would be more, like, engraved in my mind.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then I kind of adapted in writing very similar to those artists that I would listen to in those songs. Like, I know, like, one of the covers I play there at Natura, Georgia by Vance Joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome song, very beautiful. And so, but
yeah.
I, like, listen to it and, like, would, like, you know, fall asleep and listen to it. And then the next morning, I'll be able to play it.
Yeah.
So it's, like, pretty nice.
That's crazy. Yeah, I know. It's awesome.
But, like, with my beginning years, that's exactly what I would do. And
using your influences.
Yeah.
What is your creative process when it comes to songwriting? Do you like start with music? Do you start with lyrics?
It varies.
Like, or is, what's their relation to each other?
It definitely varies. It definitely varies. Cause like one day I'll be like, oh, this is a cool melody. And then the next day I'll write lyrics to it. And then another time I'll just be like, well, these are cool lyrics. I should make a melody for it. And then, you know, So it really depends on like the time. And I, tend to use a lot of like stuff that, you know, like stories that happened to me. Like for example, with the bubble song, I wrote and I kind of felt like this feeling of like this person that I was friends with, and I like really, really, really liked them though. Like, mm-hmm. So it was, you know, one of those stereotypical stories. So,
yeah.
Like, I was like really like head over heels for this person. And unfortunately, she was just a friend and she couldn't reciprocate the same feelings for
right.
me. And so it's just kind of, the bubble song is pretty much like how I dreamed of like, or like how I wanted to like be like with her and like, you know, be able to like share good moments with her, but it would never work out, and we like both knew that, and like I knew that especially. So I took those feelings and turned it into the bubble song.
I can imagine that songwriting gets a little bit tedious sometimes.
Yeah.
or just get over it really quickly. It's work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like do you feel stuck sometimes? Like, do you get writer's block? Like,
it happens to everyone.
Yeah.
It happens to everyone.
And how do you work through it? Like, how do you...
There are a lot of, I mean, it really, I don't know. There's a lot of different methods. The way that I get around that is kind of just, like, take a breather, walk away, go out for a walk, kind of, like, or, like, kind of lie down and listen to some music, like quite ambient music,
mm-hmm.
Just so that way I can clear my head and kind of relive those memories and find words that are more fitting.
Yeah.
Another thing that I do is like, sometimes I'm just like, okay, I cannot write. Like it's been 2 days. I can't write a single thing next. I need to like go out. And so like going out, sometimes hanging out with friends and like being able to like be happy near
mm-hmm.
them, like around them and having fun actually like clears my head a lot. So,
yeah.
I just then after that I like sit back down and then I write.
Do you have a favorite song of all time?
Oh, I have so many favorites, man. You don't
I know.
Ask
it's like the worst question
you
I can ask.
You don't ask anyone
I know.
This question.
I know.
I have a lot of favorites. But obviously your favorite is Dream by Priscilla Ahn. Have you heard the song Wallflower by her?
I have not.
It is a lovely song. I like that song. But if I had to have a backup,
right.
Like,
right.
I don't think backups are allowed, but
yeah.
Hey, it's
yeah.
whatever.
No, go for it.
No
rules.
No
YOLO.
Rules. Have you ever heard of the this singer-songwriter? She's amazing. Her name is Catherine Feeney. She's not very, like, popular. She's kind of...
Which means she's awesome.
But she's incredible. Like, there was a couple songs I like from her, Mr. Blue and, like, Hush Now. And those are more, like... sweet sing-songy kind of songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a really good writer. She writes also very similar to like Ingrid Michaelson and like, you know, Regina Spektor, kind of quirky.
Yeah.
But she has like a really good flow and I really enjoy it, and she's one of my favorite artists, but definitely Mr. Blue is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
So like
awesome.
I had to like
I have to like listen to that like right after this. But who would you say is your greatest musical influence?
My greatest musical influence?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I have so many. Like,
or like, who's the person that jumps to mind first?
Jumps to mind definitely would have to be my, I had a psychologist in high school, or like the social worker that we talked to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily need to go talk to him. It was just more so, he was really cool. He was in a metal band. He was a lead guitarist
super
in a
cool.
metal band, and they're signed to Sony. They're called Skinwalker.
Wow.
So shout out to them. If
yeah.
Like, yeah. You should definitely go check them out if you like metal music.
Yeah.
But he's a psychologist. And so I would actually go and like talk to him from time to time, bring my lunch to his office and just kind of like hang out with him, because he's really cool and like he knew so much about music and like met so many people, and he also was really, really good friends with my music teacher, my orchestra teacher. But Miss Gus, that's what actually his name is, Gus Papademos. I didn't call him Mr. Papademos because it was weird, but I called him
right.
Gus. Gus was really cool, and he Like, actually, when I was playing music in the hallway and I didn't think anyone was hearing me and stuff, he was actually one of the teachers that heard me. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, when they all, like, kind of went away, he stayed back and he was like, oh, my God, like, you are really good. You have, you need to be out there. Like, what are you doing with your life? You know?
Get it together.
So after that, I would actually bring my guitar into his office and, like, play a couple songs, try to write songs, and, like, have him help me and stuff to writing those songs.
You know? Can you remember any, like, one piece of advice that any of those people gave you in terms of...
Don't Let Your Dreams Be Dreams by Shia LaBeouf.
Obviously.
I mean, that's Shia's there to make us.
He is everything.
He has a freaking braid ponytail thing. I don't know what it is.
I know. He's living the dream.
That's what happens when you are on Even Stevens, so.
Yeah.
But I would say definitely one of, like, the most inspirational things that, or more like, it wasn't even like a thing, it was just kind of a moment. So I was in the auditorium and I was ditching class, and I know that's not very good, you know, hey, whatever. It was history, I don't need that. What am I going to use history for?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But I, definitely this moment, I was in the auditorium ditching class, and I was hiding in the orchestra pit, and I was, like, having a really crummy day. I remember I was having such a bad day, and I had my guitar with me, and I had a piano, actually next to me in the auditorium, and so I was playing that, and the auditorium's, like, was locked, so no one can get in. I snuck in because I'm freaking ninja. Like,
right.
I'm a ninja. Like, so it's not because I'm Asian, it's just because I'm really, like, a ninja.
Sneaky. Swift.
Anyways, I'm very swift. More swift than Taylor Swift. Anyways.
Oh,
shit. No, you might have to cut that out.
Nah, I'm totally keeping it in.
Alright, fine, whatever.
Look out, Taylor, what's good?
Taylor, what's good? But, yeah, so I would hide in the auditorium. The doors were locked, so I didn't think anyone was, like, in there. And so I was playing guitar, I was playing piano, I was singing, and my orchestra teacher came in, and he was like, Diane, are you in here? And he's like, I heard you singing out in the hallway. I know you're in here. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I got out, and I was like, okay, are you going to give me detention? And he's like, well, I just wanted to say, like, if you're having a crummy day, or if you ever need someone to talk to, because it seems like you're here because you're upset, and I guess it showed because I had, I had makeup at the time,
right.
And he said to me, like, he was like, if you're ever having, like, a really shitty day, just, just come talk to me, you know, like, I'm here for you. If you ever need, like, if you're ever stuck with anything, even if it's music or whatever it is, like, just know, like, I'm here for you, and I'm here to support you. I have a lot of hopes and expectations for you, you know, like, as an upcoming musician. I know you're going to make it big, and I want to see you be successful, and I want to be someone that, like, you know, is there, like, is here now to watch you grow later on, and be that person that says, yeah, I helped them, you know, become successful.
Right.
So,
and that was the first time that somebody has ever said something like that to you?
Pretty much. When I was little, my dad, he died of cancer when I was 7. So I didn't really have a father figure until my stepdad came in. But he came in actually about two years ago. So he's pretty fresh.
Yeah.
But he's a cool guy. I mean,
right.
He's been taking care of my mom, and he's been very supportive of my music stuff. And he's always, like, very, very helpful and always there for me, so I, like, you know, I really appreciate that, from him. Those two people, definitely Gus and Mr. Clark, they were, like, my big inspirations, especially when it came to, like, music, and before my mom met my stepdad, because they were there to always tell me, hey, like, I believe in you, you're awesome, you know you can do it, you just have to keep your focus, you always have to, you know, keep your goal set in mind, and, you know, make it there, run to it, so...
you say then is your greatest, like, musical artist influence, like somebody who is an artist now that you
oh man I have a lot
But again, first one that comes to mind.
Definitely would have to be like Inger Michaelson. Okay. When I was little, I would listen to that song, like I'd listen to her Keep Breathing song, and that kind of helped me relieve my anxiety and stuff because I was a very anxious kid.
Mm-hmm.
With Inger Michaelson, like she's been a big inspiration. She grew up with actually her mom as an artist, and I think her dad's a musician, if I remember correctly, because I read her Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So
you know it's true.
I don't remember exactly, but I know both of her parents were like very artistic, and she kind of grew up with them. Like she would listen to her father's records, and she would kind of like be very, you know, daydreaming constantly, and like she kept writing songs when she was little, and like, you know, she played different instruments. She taught herself a lot of instruments that she knows, and so after that, like, you know, reading about that, I was like, wow, she like kind of is almost like me.
Yeah.
So after that, I just, you know, Inger Michaelson has definitely been a big.
What about her music?
Her music.
Something that you want to emulate.
Yes.
In your own.
Definitely, like her melodies, they're just so like they're so full and like. They flow very well, and they're so rich to the point where, like, I really enjoy listening to them. Like, no matter what song it is by Inger Michaelson, I'll listen to it.
Right.
Like, it's, like, any melody that she puts or writes, it's amazing, and, like, you know, that she composes. And then, like, her writing, I mean, it's a bit quirky, but I like that, and I like, how it shows how you can be a quirky musician and
yeah.
how you can, like, expression, like, knows no bounds, so, like, pretty much you can do whatever the heck you want.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, so.
What is it about music in particular as a creative art form that you love so much? Like, what do you think its power is?
Definitely bringing me back to the time that I learned, like, emotions and, like, memories that I felt during, like, a certain time. So, like, there was this time I was listening to this song, you know, Sitting, Waiting, Wishing by Jack Johnson.
Yes.
So that song, whenever I listen to that song or hear that song, I always think of my ex and I in the back of her car in a parking lot. It was raining like hell, like pretty much earlier today.
Yeah.
Like raining that much. And we would kind of actually just like listen to that song and just kind of sit in the back seat holding each other. And then like after like, you know, we just listened to different songs and listened to the rain, and it was really cool and really quiet. And
yeah.
It was dark outside, so like pretty much it was just really like quiet.
Yeah.
And you can feel that, and you can feel like the emotions from that. So
yeah. So it's transcendent, and it's able to like.
Yeah. Any music that I hear, when I listen to the song Youth by Daughter, that song, it brings me back to the time when it's like snowing, and there was a time where it was snowing in winter, and I was sitting on the Red Line in Chicago, back when I was still living in Chicago. And I was listening to Youth by Daughter, and I was sitting on this train. It was empty. I was the only one on it. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. But I was listening to that song and watching the rain, watching the snowfall. I was watching snowfall and listening to it and hearing the cart, you know, kind of sway. It was pretty cool. And so that I kind of get taken back to that that moment every time I listen to that song. So.
You're originally from Chicago, but you came here for school.
Yeah.
But what was like your internal drive for wanting to come here? I mean, was there a reason, or like, did you just feel like you needed the change, or do you need space to grow? What was it?
So definitely it would be the more space to grow thing, because I lived with my parents up there, and I also like had my like own place kind of thing, but it was like I wasn't there often. I only was there when I had to work.
Mm-hmm.
In the city. But so I stayed with my parents a lot, and it kind of felt like I needed to just kind of take a break from the city. I need to go move to a different place, start a new slate, clean, fresh, you know, and kind of grow myself as an individual. So that's why my parents are far away, and I'm here, and like, you know, I'm just doing my thing.
Right.
So
what has that given you so far?
It's given me a lot of time to grow up, that's for sure. I definitely act differently than how I was when I first got here. My music sounds a lot different. In comparison to when I first came here, and like my songwriting is different. I sing differently. I look differently. Oh my god, I can show you pictures actually. I will show you pictures. I look like Asian Justin Bieber, pretty much.
I mean, That sounds great to me.
Like old Justin Bieber. Like, or not old, oh. Like Justin Bieber, like, you know, younger, like
got it.
Back when he was like, hey, you know, douchebaggy.
Pre-Selena.
Yeah, pretty much, exactly.
What is your relationship with music given you as a person? Like, how does art serve you and your soul? And like, how does it feed you and like help you become the person that you are?
It definitely gives me a place where I feel like safe to be who I am and like be in, you know, showing my expressions and like different songs that I write or would play. It gives me kind of like this really safe feeling. And like, I don't know. I mean, this sounds like all of my answers honestly sound very cliche, but I'm being very honest.
It's cliche, which means it's true.
I'm 110% like honest right now because I just feel like I have nothing to hide with music, and especially since that's something that I love doing, I absolutely love doing. For Be Living, you have to, like, you know, you need kind of, like, to show, like, you know...
authenticity.
Yeah. Like, you're like, what inspired you and what drove you, and, you know, I want to be kind of, like, that person for other people, too. So
what would you say to other people? Like, for people that don't know what their passions are or haven't come to the realization, for example, like before you had the realization that music was this safe space for you.
Made me feel safe.
Yeah. How would you tell someone to find that for themselves?
Definitely try different things. Like, don't be afraid to, you know, get out of your comfort zone, because that's actually what, like, you need to do in order to find something that you love doing and that you feel extremely safe to. And, like, it's kind of like that thing is connected to you, and it's so that's like, for example, with music, like I have such a strong connection with music that I'm inspired by it every day. I listen to music every day. I always play music every day. I practice guitar 3 hours a day. You know, like I set myself with goals and with motivation, and I plan things out to getting myself higher and higher on the grid, you know?
Yeah.
So
how would you define passion for yourself?
Something that really kind of like pushes you further, like, you know, like let's say imagine you're like on the edge of the cliff, like, you know, and you're about to fall. Like, it should be something, like, despite the whole being safe thing, it should
right.
be something that like pulls you further and making you feel like it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
But like with passion, I definitely think that like, it has to be something that drives you, like makes you go insane if you don't have enough of it. Like, you need more. And music, you know, obviously music is big with me. Like, I need more music. I need to constantly be listening to music. I can't imagine a day without music or without me able to play, you know, guitar or, you know, be able to music, like, you know,
yeah.
music or do music. I know, that wasn't...
No, I like that, for being able to music.
Being able to music.
I
like,
need to music
I need to
all
music
the time.
Now. you're going to be an English teacher, you're going to be like, oh, God, cut that out.
I'm going to use it all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
No, but I love that. I love the idea of passion being something that pushes you off the edge, because I think that can stop a lot of people, you
yeah.
know,
it's,
that edge, like the, you know,
like,
what
don't
comes
be
after
afraid,
it.
Like, don't be afraid to fall, because
right.
you never know what's going to be at the bottom.
And not to mention, like, the crazy things that are going to happen on your way down.
Yeah.
like
there's
going to
be a bunch of road, you know, like, bumpiness and stuff. Like, maybe you'll, like, hit a rock by accident.
Right.
Like, oh, shit. But you know what?
Yeah.
Like, things like that happen. That happens to me all the time. Like, with music, like, I had a gig at this gay bar downtown called Southern Night.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden they canceled on me on that day. They said, hey, we're actually not going to be doing any more live music. I'm so sorry to tell you this. So we can't compensate you for that. And I was like, I was so excited for this gig. I had like all this music planned out. I was so excited. I was getting paid for it. It was amazing. Like, I thought it was going to be like, I was really excited, you know?
Yeah.
But it didn't go through. And so, obviously, I was very disappointed, but that didn't stop me from trying other places, too.
The last thing I'm going to ask you about is, what would you say happiness is for yourself?
Happiness definitely would be a place where, like, you know, like with music, I'm always happy playing music. I'm always happy writing music. I'm always happy, like, just doing anything with music, listening to music, anything. That's how you know, like, I'm addicted.
Right.
Like, I should go. No, I'm kidding. But
half to music now.
Half to music now. BRB. Like, but success only comes when with something that you feel happy with. You know, like, you're not gonna gain you're not gonna gain success without happiness. So that's what I think is, like, you have to first get happiness in order to be successful with something that you, you know, are happy with doing and content with doing, like me with music. You know, that's something that I'm always really excited to do. Like, really, every time I touch a guitar, I'm just always like, yes, I'm going to do this. Like, you know, so it's always should be like, you should have that drive where you have happiness driving you to being successful. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. I love it.
I don't know how to explain it.
You did great.
I loved that Diana said in our conversation, and one of them was the idea of passion being that thing that pushes you off the cliff of fear, if you're putting it into metaphorical terms. But it's that nudge, that the nudge we need to truly take a chance and experience things. But fear can cause us to halt or come up with a million reasons why we shouldn't jump. Fear has the power to hold you back, but passion has the ability to push you forward. And all the crazy things that follow are just part of the process, that journey, that process that begins the journey to joy. I also love at the end how she tried to explain that happiness and success go hand in hand. They're not necessarily the same thing. They're not synonymous with each other, but rather they're a symbiotic relationship. Doing something that makes you happy leads to happiness, which will bring success. Of course, I also loved how Diana beautifully put that expression knows no bounds. I think the only way to make this evident is by giving you all a live little moment here with Diana Jang performing the song that first made me see her passion. And I'll have her close the show, but thank you all so much for listening, and I'll talk to you all next week. But until then, be real, be strong, be living. Stay tuned for Diana's song.
One last thing I do want to ask you, though, if you could play us a song.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So do you have a song in mind? Do you have a preference? You could do the bubble song since everybody is obsessed with it, but you don't have to if you're over it or you don't want to.
I mean, that's something that if anyone, like, wants to hear the bubble song and wants to hear more stuff from me, they should definitely come out to Natura or check out my live broadcast on YouNow.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like be like a sneak peek.
Yeah.
Of, you know, but like, I definitely am gonna try playing. I want to play a cover actually.
Okay.
What I was planning on doing is, I was gonna do Dream by Priscilla Ann because I know
how much
you love that song. So.
Yeah, I'm totally down.
Okay. Cool.
You guys are going to lose your shit.
I absolutely love the song. It's an amazing song. It actually, like, it makes me feel very, like, how do I feel? Like, relaxed and, like, kind of with the song. And, like, you know, Dream by Priscilla Ann.
Yeah.
The name Dream is just, like, you're just like, oh, my God, you know it's already going to be a good song.
Right.
And it's an incredible song. And it, like, shows, you know, that Priscilla On is amazing just in general, but I don't know how else to explain it. It's just, it's a really great song and I absolutely love it. I love it. It's one of my favorites to play and I'm glad that, like, you know, you enjoy it. Cool.
I cannot even.
You can't even?
No, I literally can't even. I tried and I can't. thank you again so much, Diana. That was amazing. If you are in the Central Florida area, if you want to check Diana out, you can check her out every Thursday pretty much at Natura Coffee Shop at their open night. And you can follow her on Facebook. She has a Facebook page for her music. And she also has the You Now channel. You can follow her on there. She broadcasts live sometimes and you do live music and everything.
Yep,
too.
Live music and everything.
Awesome. All right. So, that's it. Thank you so much.
No problem.